Standing at an imposing 6'8" in an era when the average man barely reached 5'5", Peter the Great's physical stature matched his outsized impact on Russian history. Born in 1672 into the Romanov dynasty, this visionary czar would drag a medieval Russia kicking and screaming into the modern European world. What makes Peter's story so captivating is how his personal obsessions became national policy. His childhood fascination with ships and Western technology eventually reshaped an entire empire. Beyond the history books, Peter's tale of ruthless modernization serves as a timeless case study in transformation. How does one change an entrenched, resistant culture? This question remains as relevant in corporate boardrooms today as it was in 17th century Moscow. Peter's Russia stood at a crossroads, isolated, technologically backward, and vulnerable. His response would alter the course of world history. Peter's path to power reads like a Shakespearean drama. As the 14th child of Tsar Alexis, his ascension seemed unlikely. After his father died in 1676, the Russian court erupted into power struggles. Following a violent revolt in 1682, 10-year-old Peter began co-ruling with his sickly half-brother Ivan V, while their sister Sophia served as regent. This arrangement transformed Peter's development. Rather than receiving the sheltered upbringing typical for Russian royalty, he spent considerable time in Moscow's German quarter among Western Europeans, where his fascination with Western technology and military science flourished. He formed play regiments that later became the foundation of Russia's modern army. When Sophia attempted to seize absolute power in 1689, 17-year-old Peter outmaneuvered her, forcing her into a convent. These formative experiences, the factional fighting, his immersion in Western ideas, and early military training, shaped his understanding of Russia's vulnerabilities and need for modernization. This declaration became Peter's driving obsession. Landlocked Russia remained cut off from the maritime trade and cultural exchange transforming Western Europe. Peter recognized this isolation wasn't merely geographical, it was a mindset permeating Russian society. His approach to modernization was both strategic and personal. He didn't just send others to learn from the West, he went himself. Western diplomats were shocked when they discovered the tall, energetic Sergeant Pyotr Mikhailov, working alongside shipbuilders, was actually the Tsar of Russia. The Grand Embassy of 1697 to 1698 took him across Europe, seeking allies against the Ottoman Empire. Though this diplomatic mission failed, it succeeded in its unstated goal, Peter's personal education. He worked in shipyards, visited factories, hospitals, and parliaments, absorbing everything from anatomy to governance principles. When news of a rebellion reached him abroad, Peter rushed home and brutally suppressed it, sometimes personally carrying out executions, signaling that resistance to his modernization would not be tolerated. Peter was a leader who got his hands dirty while demanding total commitment from others. When European powers rejected his anti-Ottoman coalition, Peter pivoted toward opening a Baltic window instead, confronting Sweden under King Charles XII in the Great Northern War that would span 2 decades. The war began disastrously at Narva in 1700, where Swedish forces routed Peter's army. Rather than retreating, Peter showed remarkable resilience. "The Swedes will teach us how to beat them." He melted church bells for new cannons and accelerated military reforms. In 1703, Peter built St. Petersburg, his window to Europe, on recently captured swampy land, costing thousands of peasant lives under horrific conditions. The turning point came at Poltava in 1709, where Peter's reformed army defeated Swedish forces. By the war's end in 1721, Russia had emerged as a major European power with its coveted Baltic coastline. The cost was enormous: economic hardship, peasant revolts, and the execution of Peter's son Alexei for opposing his reforms. Yet through this conflict, Peter had forged not just new territories, but a new national identity. Peter's 1722 Table of Ranks exemplifies his revolutionary vision by undermining centuries of aristocratic privilege. This system organized all civil, military, and court positions into 14 ranks, with automatic nobility granted to those reaching certain levels through service rather than birth. In practice, this meant a merchant's son with aptitude could rise to become a general or high-ranking administrator, gaining noble status through merit. Meanwhile, sons of ancient boyar families who refused to serve would see their social position decline. This wasn't merely administrative reform, it was psychological warfare against the entrenched nobility. By making advancement dependent on the Tsar's approval rather than hereditary right, Peter centralized power while creating a more dynamic society. His meritocratic principle extended to personal relationships, too. His second wife, Catherine, who would succeed him as empress, rose from peasant origins through intelligence and capability. When Peter crowned her in 1724, it symbolized how far Russia had evolved from its rigid hierarchical past. Peter's reforms touched virtually every aspect of Russian life. His infamous beard tax required men who kept traditional beards to pay a fee and carry a token, a strike against symbols of old Russia. Similarly, his decree mandating Western-style clothing at court served as cultural weapons to reorient Russian identity. Education underwent revolutionary change, with Russia's first secular schools focusing on practical subjects like mathematics, engineering, and navigation. For the first time, education served state needs instead of church priorities. His industrial policy established Russia's first factories, recruited foreign experts, and transformed the Ural Mountains into an industrial heartland, increasing iron production sixfold during his reign. Peter placed the Russian Orthodox Church under state control by establishing the Holy Synod, fundamentally reorienting Russian society. He also revolutionized women's roles by banning the seclusion of elite women and requiring their presence at court functions. While far from modern gender equality, these changes significantly advanced women's participation in public life. "I have subdued the nation, but I have not conquered myself." This quote, attributed to Peter, captures his reign's paradox. His iron will transformed Russia, but at tremendous human cost. Resistance was widespread, reflecting the trauma of rapid social change. Old believers viewed Peter as the Antichrist. Peasants, burdened by increased taxation and conscription, staged numerous rebellions. Peter's response was ruthlessly consistent, executing rebels, exiling dissidents, and making examples of opponents. When Peter died in 1725 after rescuing sailors from freezing waters, the question loomed: would his reforms survive? The following decade saw alternating retreat from and recommitment to his vision. Yet Russia had been irrevocably changed. Peter's legacy remains ambiguous. He promoted education while suppressing free thought, introduced meritocratic principles while reinforcing autocratic power, and modernized institutions while strengthening serfdom. He created a modern state without modern citizens, subjects to execute his will without questioning authority. Three centuries later, the fundamental question Peter posed, "Can Russia modernize while maintaining its distinctive cultural identity?" continues to animate Russian politics. Each generation of Russian leaders has grappled with this tension between Western-style modernization and Russian exceptionalism. We still live in the world Peter created, wrestling with the same questions about change, identity, and progress.